All right, we're going to get right to it. You guys remember the Lord's Prayer? Want to say it together? Okay, now if you want to go King James, please. If you want to go debts, please. If you want to go trespasses, please. Go for it. It's not so much that you memorize this, is that it's part of your heart, right? And it starts out with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." How many of you are like, "Gosh, I butchered that"? Yes, me too. How many of you are like, "I didn't butcher it online and with a microphone"? Oh, wait, I did. You guys, I love you. I want to remind you that prayer is actually not about us. It's not even necessarily for us, but we get to be a part of it. We get to be blessed in it. So I'm going to ask you to consider what our acts of righteousness are about. Are they for you or are they for God? Who's this for is what I've entitled today's message, and I want you to ask that about your life as well. As you guys are joining me in Matthew 6, and we'll start in Matthew 6, 5, I want to let you know that we have yet again a chance with provision to have extra food today. Please come back between 11:45 and noon. We'll get started on actually giving out food to you and to our neighbors, anybody that wants to come. This can help you with your food budget. This can help you with food insecurity. This can help you with an opportunity to serve people. If you're like, "Gosh, you know what I'd love to do today is I would love to just serve in some really powerful ways," come back about 11:15. You can help us offload. While some guy in here is talking, there'll be people in there doing other work. My friend said the other day, "You don't have a real job." And I'm like, "What does that mean exactly? Because I really work, but I don't get blisters really from my work. I don't really have this time where I have to wake up at like 3 to be able to get on the road so I can get to work and make airplanes or anything like that." But we all serve. We all work, whatever it might be. If you're a student, that's your job really right now. If you're building things, that's your job. If you're fixing people, that's your job. But your work is living for the Lord God Most High. Whatever it is you do, and it's worship. So when I say who's this for today, I don't want you just thinking about prayer and fasting, although we're going to talk about those in the text. I want to ask you to consider your life, your worship, the attention that you're looking for. Are you looking for attention for you, or are you looking for attention for God? Like, you ought to be the moon, right? You reflect the sun. And yet a lot of us want to be the sun. There's this little boy, and he was in a room next to the kitchen with his mom. And his mom said, "Okay, before dessert, I want you to pray." And he goes, "Okay. Dear God, please remind Grandpa that those cookies are for everybody. In Jesus' name, amen." And his mom goes, "Wait, what are you yelling for? God's not deaf." "No, but Grandpa is, and I really want a cookie." And we get that, right? A lot of times we're praying and we're actually not praying to God. We're praying for the benefit of people. And I want to ask us to look at what Jesus, the Master, says about it. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. You might remember in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." And he talks about all of us to be careful with that. And he starts with giving to the needy, which is a really wonderful thing to do. But if you're doing it to be recognized, your reward's over. Now he transitions into prayer. "And when you pray," not if you pray. Some of you right now are like, "Gosh, I need to pray more." Amen. You don't need to pray more for God to love you more. You don't need to pray more even for things to happen, although we see that equivalent. You and I need to pray more because it's a connection to the Most High God. Your Heavenly Father, what a great gift. Here we go. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, actors, people on stage with a mask. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who's in secret will reward you. First and foremost, prayer is between you and God. Jesus has a bone to pick with the religious leaders and those that they've taught and the example that they've followed. It isn't with like having a set form of prayer. It's what's your motivation for prayer? Are you trying to move God's hand? Are you trying to wake up grandpa to get the cookies? Are you trying to say, God, my will be done, and once you put your name on it? Jesus rejected lengthy prayers because people thought that by their many words, they would be heard. That hits me a little harder because I talk a lot. When it gets quiet in a meeting that I'm in, I feel like I gotta fill the space. And God keeps reminding me over and over again, your words aren't gonna make everything all better. My word will, my spirit will point people to me. I get to be funny, I get to be boring, I get to think I'm funny. I get to be somebody who teaches, and that's a huge honor and responsibility and blessing. But it isn't my many words that change people. It's God. You shouldn't suppose that you're going to earn a response from God because you say it in a particular model like we're about to read, or you say a particular amount of words. You and I shouldn't pray because we think that that prayer changes God, because nothing changes God. Prayer changes us, though. When you and I are focusing on God, we know that He's our Father, as we're about to read, and He knows what we need before we even ask Him, yet He says, ask, let me ask you something. Why would God call us to prayer and tell us, like He says later on in Matthew 6, to pray for the things that He already knows we need? Why would He call us to do that, you guys? So we rely on Him. Outstanding. Anything else stand out to you? Why would we pray to God when He already knows what we need? And He told us that.
Because it gives you faith.
Amen. Gives you faith. Thanks, Dave.
Because sometimes you don't, even when you think it, you don't understand it until you say it.
Ooh. Some processing there. Yes. Very, very good. Thanks, Ben. Ben says, like, just because you're thinking something doesn't necessarily mean you even understand it. Once you start to say it out loud, he says that can be a benefit of prayer. Absolutely. You understand yourself a little bit more. You hear it. You think any of it has to do with relationship? He knows what you need, but he calls you and I to connect with him. Talk to him. Slow down. You guys, there's something profound that I found in studying this week. This is the first time this stood out to me. The Lord's Prayer follows the greatest commandments flow. God first, and then us and others. And what's really cool is you see through this, he says, our, right? That's how we started it this morning. Our Father. And so a little shout out to my friend Ruth Olson. She, her husband has passed away quite some time ago. His name is Ron. And he said, hey, pastor. He was dying when we had this conversation. He said, I figured out God's name. I'm like, okay. He goes, it's Art. I'm like, huh? He goes, our Father, which art in heaven. I'm like, oh, okay. pastor jokes. God's a baseball fan in the beginning. I mean, just all these ones, right? But I was like, this guy's talking about God. This is cool, and he's going to see him soon. And so a little shout out to the fact that God is actually our Father. His name isn't actually Art. But Father is personal, and it's extra at the same time. Let's look at this, Matthew 6, 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You and I have a probable history of hearing that word hallowed. And sometimes they would say it about sports, right? Like the hallowed field and the hallowed grounds and all that. And then we have Halloween, right? I'm sure you guys already know this, but let's just for the sake of communication, what does hallowed mean? Holy, sacred. How could Halloween or Halloween be a holy or sacred evening? It seems almost anything but that in our culture. If you go all the way back, it's the night before All Saints Day. And it's this wonderful time. We've made it into this weird time. And then way, way back, they were like, look, all the ghouls, the freaks come out at night, right? That's what happens on Halloween. And then the next day, whew, and you got Fat Tuesday and all that kind of stuff, right? It's just nuts. But hallow means holy. God is actually Father, which is so mind-blowing. And he's holy. He's super close, and yet he's so other than us. And when he's calling us to connect with him, Jesus is saying, our Father, let's have some connection with our dad. Let's do that, and let's remember he's holy. He's different than you. You're going to ask him for things, but you start out first things first, knowing who you're talking to. Do you know who you're talking to? I think maybe some of us would slow down the amount of requests and the commands that we give God if we were just to slow down and remember, like we're supposed to at communion time, what it is we're doing. We're connecting with God, and he wants you to connect, and he wants you to bring all of your petitions to him. But let's start out with first things first. You're amazing. You're awesome. I get to talk to you. That's where we get these people kneeling and these heads bowed and maybe hands up or even on their face before the Lord or crying even, because we're recognizing this is no average dad we're talking to. It's the Most High God. And then the next thing. And I know you know this, and we're going to read it in like next week, but I wanted to bring it up to you one more time. Matthew 6, 32. So previously to that, he's talking about all the things that we get anxious about, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. He says, the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He's your dad. He knows you. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. He's somebody to talk to. Even though he's so holy and so different, we got to come with awe and reverence. You don't have to be all,
I know I'm unworthy to talk to you. Would you please just give me some bread?
You come before God with awe and reverence, but you remember he's your dad and he knows what you need, so let's just be real. Be in awe and be real all at the same time. You're going to need help for this, right? It's him that you need help from. Verse 10, Jesus continues in this reverence, in this reminding himself, others, not reminding God, but reminding himself and others. And Jesus is God, but he was man, and he remembered and reminded others. And so here we go. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The rule and reign that you've got going on, we want to see here. We're not personally satisfied on our own. We're not complacent. Father, we want your will to be done. We want your goodness, your rule and your reign to come here. The temporary treasures of this world aren't going to cut it for us. We recognize that. We want your good way. Let me ask you, just recently, there's this memorial of Tiananmen Square and all this craziness that happened in China and people saying, don't treat us like this and we can't allow this. And they got squashed. You know what's been getting squashed in China for a long time? The church. Do you know what's been exploding in growth for a long time in China? The church. Is it God's will that we would suffer? Yeah, you need to say yeah. Not needlessly, but for the greatest purpose of all, right? The glory of God, our reliance on him, and his kingdom come and his will be done. His kingdom come and his will be done isn't just suffering and isn't violence only against his people. It's his rule and reign. Do you know how you and I can reach people more and more? Obeying our Father, honoring him, remembering he's holy. To that end, I have John 13:17 on my mind, and I'm going to just turn there. You could join me. I've got a little bit more to talk about, so I'm going to try to speed it up, although I'm not all that worried. I do have to go pick up my kids, though, today, so you guys are, you're in luck. I won't be here for an hour more, maybe half an hour. All right. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. They freak out, but really Peter freaks out the most. And he's like, don't do that. And he's like, look, if you don't let me do this, you have nothing to do with me. And he goes, look, if I've done this for you and I'm your Lord and your master, then you ought to do this for one another. And he says this in John 13. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Connecting with God in prayer, connecting with God, recognizing who he is, and then letting his rule and his reign be seen by all, by you obeying him. Not to earn anything, but as a worship, spiritual act of worship, right? Romans 12, we actually are living sacrifices, and we get to love one another. Anybody married? Anybody know that marriage is one of the greatest ways to show obedience to Jesus Christ? Hardest ways. You got two sinners that are about their kingdom. They humble themselves and submit to God, and still they battle their own kingdom. And then you put them together. It freaks me out when people say, oh, we just don't argue about anything. Wait for it. Marriage, child rearing, jobs, driving, taxes. You can name anything else. Honoring God instead of dishonoring people. There's a lot to that. I'm going to let that sit wherever it does. Let's go to Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. You've heard a lot of teaching on this, I'm sure. There's another way to translate that that says, give us this day our bread for tomorrow. And I think that's honest too. We pray those kind of things, like, God, can we eat not just today, but tomorrow too? And we got a little bit of fear in that. There's a shout out to a proverb here where it's like, don't give me too much that I just think it was me that did it and I lose sight of you, God. And don't give me too little that I actually feel like I'm so desperate that I would go out and steal for bread and that way dishonor your name, but give me my daily bread. That's good. It's the word. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus is tempted by the enemy. He had been fasting. This means without food. I get, and we're going to talk about it a little bit at the end, just a little bit. Fasting, and people are like, well, I'm going to fast from social media. Good move. I'm going to fast from Netflix. Cool. Do you know that the fasting in the Bible is actually from food? It's from something we all need. Some of us have issues with our blood that not eating can be really detrimental. You're not a bad Christian if you eat. You're not a bad Christian if you don't fast. You and I are missing out on seeing God come through for us and provide for us Him when we don't take time to say no to our really God-ordained addictions. Like oxygen, you're addicted to that. Water, that too. Some of you are like, I don't drink water, I drink coffee. Newsflash, there's water in there. I just drink pop. Gross. But, I mean, there's water there too. But food, we need it. But what about every now and then we just hold back and say, God, it's you I need. Well, Jesus did that for 40 days. I love how it says, and he was hungry. Oh, for real? Okay. Good call. Well, Matthew 4:4, he gets to the point because he's tempted by the enemy. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I mean, give us our daily bread, but we don't need to stockpile. We don't need to have all kinds. I mean, literally just invited you to come and get extra food. I can see where some of you might go, man, that's weird. It's almost hypocritical. No, it's legit though. We have food. Let's get it. Let's share it. Let's eat it. And sometimes let's abstain from it and focus ourselves on God. He says, give us this day our daily bread. You and I desperately need daily the good word to fill our soul. So when the world, and sometimes the church, your friends, and sometimes your enemies, or a lot of time your enemies, want to tell you something that's not in here and want to feed you a snack instead, you'd be like, yeah, that just doesn't make sense. I'm going to go to Matthew 6:12 in this Lord's Prayer. Notice we're transitioning into the us stuff. Start with how awesome God is, and you're not buttering him up. Look, say nice things to Grandpa. He'll give you a 20 spot. Give God props so he'll give you what you need. No. It's first things first. You're talking to your daddy who's holy. And then just let him know what's on your heart. He already knows, so let's just be honest with him. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he talks about forgiveness. Forgive us our debts or trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors or trespassers. I love debts and debtors because this has now multiple applications to it. It's a financial application, if you will. Like you've got issues and you owe people, but remember that people owe you. And he's linking together forgiveness of debts in that way to how you've forgiven others, theirs. But also trespasses, sins, things that you've done against God. And then remember, because people are going to do things against you. Do you remember that whole marriage thing I was talking about? Just life. I don't believe for a second that this is what's called a salvific forgiveness. Jesus goes off on this a little bit more at the end of the prayer, and so I'll spend a little more time there, but not much. He's saying, remember, you've been forgiven, and forgive that way. He's like saying in prayer, talk to God like that, like forgive us as we've forgiven others. Why is that such a big deal, do you guys think? That he would link those together, the forgiveness of us with how we forgive others?
We're supposed to be a light.
Amen.
Yep. And he
all the time. That's so good. We have to extend it. Darcy's not only getting emotional because of her own story, but the story of others. You know that we've all been forgiven more than we could ever forgive. Jesus has a really cool parable about this, about the unmerciful servant. Go check that one out. Ephesians 4:32 says what Darcy just said. It's a little bit cooler, Darcy, because it's a Bible, but be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I don't think I can forgive these people. Okay, how did God forgive you? In Christ. Friend of mine was in the middle of infidelity in his marriage. And it wasn't him. This is how he told me. He's like, my wife had more sex than I did. I was like, what? And then he explained it to me. And I said, well, wow, what are you going to do, man? And he is from a different country and a different culture. And the country and culture that he was from was more of a canceling culture than even ours is. Especially if a woman was to do something like that. And he said, I've cheated on Jesus a lot, and he's forgiven me, so I'm going to forgive her. And he had to keep doing it, because it kept coming to his mind. Listen to how Jesus ends this whole prayer after all this, right? We're talking about God's daddyhood and his holiness. Talking about his kingdom coming and his rule and his reign, and that we would say that and pray that, and like, we want that. Okay, now you have lots of opportunities to live it out. And he talks about our daily needs, food, and then forgiveness. Then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen, for... or even because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Most original manuscripts don't have that last part, but I asked Josh to put it in because the reality is that's good. And it's Bible. All through the Bible you see this, right? Because whose is the kingdom? His. Forever and ever. Amen. I want to talk about temptation just with two quick verses. If you go with me to James 1:13, you find out something about God and what he doesn't do. Okay? I know that we love to talk about what God does do, and we should. But James 1:13 says that God doesn't do something. And it might seem a little confusing to us, maybe even a contradiction. But it's not. Jesus says, pray that the Father doesn't lead us into temptation. Did that ever happen before in his life? Because he was led into temptation in Matthew 4 by the Holy Spirit of God. But God isn't tempted by evil, nor does he tempt with evil. Check this out. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But he does lead us there. You're going to find all kinds of things in the Bible about tempting and testing. But you won't find God tempting us, but you will find him leading us to that. Because as we're about to read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, temptation isn't always just a carte blanche to do what you're being tempted to do. It's an opportunity, actually, to overcome it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the one you talk to as daddy and holy. No temptation, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, has overtaken you. That's not common to man. Hey, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing's happening to you that hasn't happened to everybody else or will. You're being tempted. Dang. It's not get over it, but it's like, it's not new. Why should we be shocked that temptation's there? We have a saying, right? Money can't buy us happiness. But many of us are willing to give it another shot. Having sex with somebody who isn't my spouse, no, 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 no. That's a no-no. It's one of the top 10. And yet, people in their minds, as we read earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, lust, men and women, and temptation's sure to find you. There's all kinds of places to find temptation, or guess what? Temptation's gonna find you. But no temptation's overtaken you. That's not common to man. God is faithful. Woo, woo, yes. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It's going to happen, but you don't have to keep giving into it. Look, temptation and testing are a part of life and growth. Can we go back to forgiveness for a quick second? You're going to be tempted to hold on to grudges. As Darcy said, as the Apostle Paul said, as Jesus said, you need to forgive as you've been forgiven. That's one massive way to overcome the temptation to hold on to a grudge or embitterment is to forgive. You're not saying it's okay what you did. You're saying, I'm not going to hang on to what you did. I'm going to release that. I forgive you. I'm not going to keep running it through my mind. I'm not going to look at you and go, I remember what you did in my yard. You get one, and that was it. Don't do it again. Jesus was told, look, how many times should we forgive? When our brother sins against us, 7 times? And Peter's like, look, I'm a man. I gave it the perfect number in the Bible. And Jesus is like, good one, Pete. Actually, no, 70 times 7. Oh, so 490? If you find yourself forgiving over 100 times, you're probably creating a habit, right? There's a temptation to write people off in our culture, and Christians, knock it off. Knock it off. Well, they're going to hell anyway. Really? Your call? Maybe they are. You won't get to heaven and go, whoo, so glad I didn't see them. I'm not saying don't point out that something's wrong or sin according to what God says. We should. And we should tell people a way out from it. Not just, you suck, that's terrible. You're going to hell in a handbasket. How's it feel? Now you're starting to sound, and I'm starting to sound, we act like that, like the older brother in the prodigal son story. Both of those boys were lost. One kept all the rules for all the wrong reasons. One broke all the rules and came to his senses and said, Dad, I don't have anything. You're the only one that does. Remember that attitude. That leads us back to, and I'll just read what Jesus said. I elaborated on it before I read it. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I firmly believe this is not salvation. This is relational. You and I will miss out on the beauty and the fruit of connection with our Father. Even though we have it, we are severing what that feels like and what that looks like by not forgiving others. And though it doesn't say it in the text, I'll remind you that you need to forgive yourself also. But the only way you can forgive yourself is the way God does. And that is with this unbelievable amount of grace. Please, if I hear again, well, that's just a grace I didn't deserve. Is there any other kind?
This is the grace you purchase. This is the grace you earn. And this is a grace that you just get by, well, the grace of God. That's what grace is. Undeserved merit, undeserved honor. All right. Matthew 6:16 through 18. And when you fast, Christians, not if, but when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites. I'm so hungry. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. They're fasting to be noticed by people. When people notice them, there it is. There's no connection you get with God from that. It's to be seen by others, and when they see you, your reward is done. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Now, some of us still have hair that you can put product in. He's just like, look, look good. Go about your everyday life. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We can talk a whole lot more about fasting, but I want to remind you of the first question that I asked you in the very beginning. Who's this for? Really, it's God first and then us. Please keep it in order. You get to focus on God. When your stomach is like, and you want to meet your need, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to take this meal off and focus on my daddy. I'm going to hear from him. You may start with, I got to get an answer for something, but you're going to end with peace and provision. He's going to actually give you more of himself. That's the reward in heaven. Remember that? It's heaven's heaven because God's there. All right, I must move on. One of my favorite Bible teachers, Warren Wiersbe, in his Bible exposition commentary. My friend and I were meeting this week, and why do we need so many people to comment on the Bible? That's a great question. You need to read it before you read commentaries. You need to chew on it and all that, but it's good to have other voices speak in and tell you some things. But you should be checking with God first and write down your own thoughts and see what's up. But don't stay in that vacuum. Jump around. Talk to some people. God doesn't change. His standard is still holiness, by the way. Remember that hypocrisy, Warren Wiersbe says, robs us of reality in Christian living. Pretending and doing things for others robs us of reality. We substitute reputation for character. Let that hit for a second. What people think about us rather than who we really are when nobody's looking. We substitute mere words for true prayer. Just to that point really quick, do you remember Peter's prayer when he was sinking after having walked on water a few steps? Remember what his prayer was? It was super long. Lord, help! Or save me! Okay, right on, bro. All right. We substitute money for the devotion of the heart. No wonder Jesus compared the Pharisees to tombs that were whitewashed on the outside, but filthy with dead man's bones on the inside. As somebody said, and I looked it up, and nobody really got credit for it, so the most important part of a Christian's life is a part that only God sees. Because then it's just between you and him. I'm doing this for you. A friend of mine was a roofer, and he was really, really good at his job. And he was telling me about this job he's doing. He couldn't tell me who it was for. But he said, it's the best and the largest roof job our company's ever done. And 2/3 of it are underground. Nobody will ever see it. He said, but I did. And I worked my butt off. I found out later it was Bill Gates' house. But because I was nosy. You guys, if we're going to love higher, we need to keep this in order. God, and then others, and we're tied for second with others.
Why we do what we do is to honor and glorify God and to get help, right? We want to worship him, and we just got to be honest. Please quit trying to show off your life when you think people are watching. I can tell you, as a Christian for 30 plus years and as a pastor for 24 plus years, people are always going to watch. But they're watching with whatever their motivation is. God calls us to do what we do for him. Father, that's real for me. I want that to be real in my life all the time. And I know that you're knocking all these things off of me and helping me to hallow your name. So I pray that for my brothers and sisters too. And for those who are far from you and maybe hearing this message or going to watch it, God, I ask that they would really understand that Christians aren't the only hypocrites. We all pretend like there's something that we're doing for a reason that's not the real reason. I ask, Jesus, that we live for you and love for you, that we honor you, that we take time to ask questions like, why do we pray and why would we fast? And Lord, get after us. May we be people that look more like you for your glory, whether anybody else is watching or not, because you are. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go online. Check out these questions. There's some good stuff, and not just because I wrote them and should say that. I actually know that the disciplines of prayer and fasting are difficult, and they're really important. So I'm going to ask you to talk some more about that. And live it out. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Shalom.